True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Dopest dope I've ever smoked. Hands down, dopest dope I've ever smoked.
Wake and Bake Club.
I love weed.
I smoke weed every second of every day.
Hey, I am your stoner.
Even Smokey the Bear is going, only you can... I knew this.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Open up the door. It's Dave.
Who?
Dave. D-A-V-E. Will you open up the door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man. Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
Oh. Hey. Smoke weed every day.
I had the flu one time. Yeah. Did a gummy bear. I was like... breakfast at Bernie's, you know, the dead guy.
Yeah.
I was supposed to go to a party, and I went to the party, and they sat me in a chair, and people sat beside me, took pictures, and I'm sitting there like, breakfast at Bernie's.
Smoke weed every day.
Hi, Steve Rosenblum here, leading this Wake and Bake Club meeting as part of Saturday Suckage, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. All right, so I'm bringing you this, Wake and Bakers, from Delaware Online, and eventually I'll get around to how we can save the city of Chicago, and boy, it needs saving. The Delaware Cannabis Advocacy Network has been organizing community events ever since its founding in 2013, but recently... it put on an event for the first time since marijuana was legalized in Delaware 8 months ago. And the nonprofit advocacy group brainstormed a new way to attract volunteers to give out grass. They didn't even wait until the volunteers put in the work first. The organizers of Delaware's first so-called Joints for Junk decided to hand out the promised pre-rolls at the start of the two-hour trash cleanup in Millsboro a couple months ago. People pre-registered, showed up, signed a waiver, and we gave them a joint, said Zoe Patchell, president of the Delaware CAN. And actually, nobody took the joint and left. It was really positive. It was an inspiring day. So once they landed on the catchy event, and once they landed on the name, they had to find a location for the community service event. Here's the best part. The Delaware Cannabis Advocacy Network chose Millsboro, the Sussex county of about 7,000, whose council had just voted to prohibit the sale and manufacturing of marijuana. So here's a pot group having a great turnout to clean up a town that turned down pot. Stick that in your bong and smoke it, Millsboro.
Smoke weed every day.
The event drew more than 50 volunteers all over the age 21, each getting a pre-rolled joint, donated by members of the nonprofit group. More than 24 bags of trash were collected around the area surrounding Millsboro Town Center. From 10 a.m. to noon, these people work. Six teams were deployed in fluorescent yellow vests, pick up any garbage, and using large garbage bags of the same color. While there were no issues reported with the first Joints for Junk project, some residents came out of their homes to ask, what's going on? And the residents gave them a positive reception when they were told they were here to clean up the city, the town. That is a wonderful story on its own. Now, we can adapt this. We can adapt this to Chicago. And I have the slogan, guns for ganja. You know how it's going to work, right? I mean, look, the city has found no other way to get guns off the street. Change the top cop, change the mayor, still can't change the carnage. But, catchy slogan, guns for ganja, turn in a gun, get a free pre-roll. Or a gummy. Guns for gummies. Gummies for guns. Somehow you make that name work. Guns for ganja. You could make this work. Somebody could make this work. Tyler, get Mayor Brandon Johnson on the phone. Right? Tell him we have an idea that can save the city. They've done this before. They've done some kind of turn in a gun, get a, you know, pass go, get $200, whatever it was. But we're here to help the safety of the city. And I'm sure he'd want to come on. I'm a pleaser, not a teaser. So, Tyler, you should be dialing Mayor Brandon Johnson now.
I just have a quick question, though. If he says yes, is he going to be an unofficial member of the Wake and Bake Club?
Maybe he already is a member. To be mayor of Chicago, you'd need to be a WB Club member. Clearly, you'd need some kind of self-care or self-medication. That would be the way to go. I think he would be smart to seize this idea, and I think it's a good thing I'm so smart. Or maybe Wake and Bake Club members have a different idea. Maybe our listener, our one audience out there, has an idea. We could come, you know, a pool of pot ideas to present to the mayor. And I really like guns for ganja as a way to get it off the street. What else has worked? Law enforcement doesn't work. I feel like doing otter in Animal House. We could fight them with conventional weapons, but that would take years and cost billions of dollars and cost thousands and millions of lives. No, it's going to take a stupid and futile act, and we're just the guys to do it. So why not? Why not? You're giving out, it's legal, right? Recreational marijuana is legal if you're over 21. In the city of Chicago. And what else has worked? Nothing. Guns are on the street. So I think we have something that we could do. A campaign. Guns for ganja. Guns for gummies. Turn it in. Get one of your choice, right? Why not?
Smoke weed every day.
I think it could be, if you're going to make it recreationally legal here, put it to good use. And it'd be easier when they pass the Safe Banking Act, finally allow all of the dispensaries to accept credit cards and not have to deal in cash. I mean, it's just silly. But it's legal here. Recreational. Texter 312, Steve, I'm listening, but I don't know why. There you go. That's my guy. That's his Saturday Suckage. That's a Wake and Baker. I'm listening, but I don't know why. I don't have any other ideas for the record. Guns for Ganja sounds like a winner to me. on someone named Steve. Okay. Well, 312-644-6767. We welcome other ideas. I guess that was our audience. I guess that was our listener. And it is a way to, if you see what happened, you got people to show up to pick up trash for a joint. Joints for junk in Delaware. So why wouldn't ganja for guns work here? I can't remember what it was. 630 texter says you're going to have to give out a couple pounds of gummies to get people interested. I don't know. But Tyler, look it up. You Googler, use the Googler machine. There was something where they've tried to, and places have tried to have gun, turning guns, no questions asked, give a gun, get a whatever, I don't know, certificate to wherever. And it made the news. You saw a video of it. They're reporting on it, however many guns there were. And there's always, that's probably less than 1% of 1% of the guns that are out there. But it's a catchy name, ganja for guns, gummies for guns. It's something the city could do because I haven't seen the police, other law enforcement bodies have much success. And it's such a thankless job, but so necessary because it is a menace in this city and all over, but it's a menace to this city. So why not? Maybe they turn it in. Maybe they're happier with a number than with a pistol. 312-644-6767. I really like this idea. There's something else that we need to bring to Chicago, too, Wake and Bake Club members. They did this in New York. And obviously now is not the time to do it unless you did it indoors. But there was an outdoor weed farmers market. And it's exactly what you think. Farmers market, but instead of Michigan peaches and blueberries, and instead of bell peppers of all colors and cotton candy grapes, it was weed. All of the weed, the different cultivars, and they were on display. And you could go from exhibitor to exhibitor, stand to stand, and you could check out their wares. They did this in New York, and look, we have licensed dispensaries here. And you got to avoid the corrupt state employees, which I guess is redundant in Chicago when you say it that way. And another reason to have the Safe Banking Act passed is because you don't want to, I mean, it's just too easy to be corrupt in an all cash business. But would you like the idea? You know, right? Saturday, I really don't need to go buy carrots and bell peppers. Maybe we'll go to the weed farmers market. Maybe we'll buy, like today would be a perfect time if you did it indoors somewhere. Today would be perfect. If you're going to buy Blue Kush, you're a Michigan fan, and you're getting worried, you're getting set up. You're the number one team. You're playing in the playoffs. You're playing Alabama and Nick Saban. And they just hired one of your former coaches and all the secrets and everything like that. And this is not the time you want to lose. And if you're a Michigan fan, you do not want to be without medication to survive a potential loss this weekend in the college football playoff when you are looking at that national championship. Then you could go to a weed farmer's market, right? Give me some of that Blue Kush, you know? Can you make it Michigan blue? I want some Blue Kush. 773 texter. Well, you know what I solved? How to make a pipe out of an apple. Boom. Yeah. Good. Great.
Next level.
Yeah, that is. 260 texter, Stevie Sunshine. Maybe it's because I'm a wake and bake clubber, but guns for ganja seems like such a bad idea. It just might work. Seems like such a crazy idea. It just might work. Yeah. There you go. I'm listening, let's see, 563. I'm listening in Boulder, Colorado, Chicago, expatriate, Weber High School. All right, check the boxes. I listen every Saturday. Your show is a reality check, re Chicago Sports. Well, that's not what I'm looking for here. I'm looking for Wake and Bake Club stuff. 262 texter, Gummies for Guns Weed Expo. F yes, Wake and Bake Club is sounding great. Rosenblum, your voice is like butter to my ears. See, I think that is the effect of weed, is that my voice sounds good to you. That's the way it works around here. That's why we started the Wake and Bake Club. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Guns for Ganja. We can make this happen. Get Mayor Brandon Johnson on the phone. Nothing else has worked. I take a break. When we come back, it's the birthday to end all birthdays. And later on this hour, if you did not hear Sean King, and even if you did, with Bernstein and Holmes, OMG, you're going to want to hear it. Boy, are you ever. A spirited defense of Justin Fields. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have the cultural zeitgeist.
Right now, you're doing something for the culture.
Oh, baby.
Do it for the culture.
For the culture.
Do it. Do it a little slower. Like.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You broke my heart.
It's that's the anthem. Get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture.
Joe, warn the Chiefs.
Ohms. Ohms.
Ohms. Ohms.
I don't know.
I think we've really penetrated the cultural zeitgeist.
Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Cultural Zeitgeist. Before we get to the birthday to end all birthdays, we here at The Score are offering you, small business owner or employee, a chance to have your commercial air during Super Bowl 58 right here on this very radio station, right here on The Score. That's what we're doing. It's a contest. So let's say you're a small business. Let's say you started out as a food truck and now you have a brick and mortar place in Evanston. Let's say you've got a wonderful name called the Fat Shallot. Tell your story. In this new contest, you enter to win a 30-second Super Bowl commercial on The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 58 from Westwood One. what you do is you log on to 670thescore.com/contest to enter now and learn more details. Deadline to enter is January 19th. And let's say you're the Fat Shallot. You were a food truck, and now you make sandwiches. You have a brick-and-mortar place in Evanston. And you want people to know, and you have a great, great backstory. Tell it. Tell it to us at The Score. That's 670thescore.com/contest. And maybe you'll win a commercial that'll air during The Score's broadcast of Super Bowl 58. Right here. Now, cultural zeitgeist. Remember, coming up at, I don't know, in about 8 minutes or so, 10 minutes, is Sean King. Replay of his interview with Bernstein and Holmes. Oh, my goodness. You want to hear something, you'll hear a spirited defense of Justin Fields. Don't miss it. This from legendary Boston Globe columnist Bob Ryan. This is a tweet. Came today. The planets were interestingly aligned for Sandy Koufax in 1935, Tiger Woods, 1975, and LeBron James, 1984, all born on this date. So from now on, I think I had no idea. But if you have a starting line of Sandy Koufax, Tiger Woods, LeBron James, December, from now on, every calendar that gets printed on December 30th, it's signed December 30th, HOF. It has to say that. I don't know if that's the greatest birth date ever. Sometimes you see lists going around born on this date, and you, but it has to be one of the first three candles, right? Doesn't have to be one of the first three candles. I cannot imagine any other birth date stacking up to that. You know, a Hall of Fame pitcher like that. Arguably the greatest golfer of all time and greatest basketball player of all time. You could call Koufax the greatest left-hander of all time. You'd get an argument, but for 6 years, there was nobody who could touch him. And he's got four no-hitters, one of which was a perfect game for proof. Oh, you know what? You know who else's birthday this is? Do you know Tyler Ferengul? Do you know who else shares his birthday?
I don't, but LeBron James was one of the ones that I was going to guess. So I partially got that right.
Okay. AJ Pierzynski.
Oh.
Also born on this date.
Wow.
So if you need someone to steal those birthday candles, there's your guy. There's your guy. All right, I started this a couple of weeks ago. I want to do this real quick before we turn it over to Sean King. Greatest riffs, music, and somebody got upset about it, so I decided we need to keep going. So right now it's time for we're up to the eighth greatest riff in rock history. The first seven, number one, Smoke on the Water. Number two, Satisfaction. Three, Running Down a Dream. Four, Layla. Five, Iron Man. Six, Black Dog. Seven, Money for Nothing. Here's number eight. Yeah, tell me you weren't giving yourself whiplash, bobbing your body, your head, your neck. It was all going. Van Halen, Pretty Woman, number eight, all-time riffs. 708 Texter, March 24th is pretty great. Peyton Manning, me, probably some other people. That is great. All right, take a break. When we come back, more nonsense in sports. Saturday Suckage, of course. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you, Suckageers, for joining me today. Thank you, Mark Grody, Hub Arkish, Chuck Swirsky, Tyler Ferengul. Nicely done, nicely produced. And our Ganja for Guns campaign has just begun. It will carry the Wake and Bake Club into 2024. Mayor Brandon Johnson is he will want to be a part of this. He will want to hear about it. He will want to come on the show and we can discuss Ganja for Guns. Thank everyone who listened. Nobody important listened. I'll be back next year. But I want you now, listen up indeed. Sean King, he was on with Bernstein and Holmes, spirited defense of Justin Fields. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Sean King, former NFL quarterback, Super Bowl champion.
Go get your diamonds.
Co-host of VSIN Primetime.
Annie up.
On Twitter at Real Sean King. And he's with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline and twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's up, Sean? How you been, man?
I'm good. How are you guys? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. All that good stuff.
You too.
Yeah, Sean, why do you want to talk to us, man? Well, what breakthrough have you had on Justin Fields that you need to share with Chicago?
Well, I think the interesting thing is I've been completely objectional, and I think I've been completely accurate on my evaluations of him throughout, you know, his tenure there in Chicago. And he's shown enough elite ability, in my opinion, to justify the Bears anointing him their franchise quarterback and using all of the resources they have, which are massive, considering they have the Panthers' number one pick as well, to upgrade around a young quarterback who's shown flashes of brilliance, who's getting better, who's doing it with what I would consider a bottom 7-8 roster from a personnel standpoint on offense. Imagine if you put elite pieces around him, how much success the Bears can have moving forward, because they have done a good job upgrading the defense for personnel. I love those young, long corners. They added sweat to that pass rush. So the Bears aren't far away. And the worst thing they can do now is panic and make a move at quarterback.
What are the things that you like about Justin that you feel like show that he's had growth as a player?
Well, let me turn it around. Is there a throw that you think he can't make?
No. Sean.
He's demonstrated that he can make every throw in the book. That corner route to Komet against the Cardinals, the play action deep ball to the other tight end that he dropped against the Browns. Like, I mean, he's made some throws that just make you go, wow. And he's doing it without elite personnel. DJ Moore is by far his best offensive weapon, and DJ is nowhere near healthy. I mean, look, even they're not even elite at running back. And no offense to Khalil Herbert or Rashad Johnson, but that backfield tandem is bottom half of the league as well. So, I mean, imagine putting elite playmakers around Justin. You know what he can do running the ball. You know what he's capable of doing passing the ball. When he's had protection, he's been unbelievable. And you can't judge him based on the statistics, and here's why. If you didn't watch the Cleveland Browns game, it says one touchdown, two interceptions, right? Both interceptions on Hail Mary plays. One at the end of the half, one at the end of the game. By the way, Darnell Mooney, I got my Tulane sweatshirt on. Can you get yourself together? You should have caught that, and they should have found a way to beat the Browns. So if you watch the game.
The Hail Mary at halftime wasn't an actual interception. It wasn't.
So, I mean, they dropped it. So, but somebody that's just, you know, casually observing says, well, he didn't play good against the Browns, when in fact, he really did. And so I hope they don't panic. I still think the jury's out on Luke Getsy. And I would say the biggest unknown for me is, how does the organization feel about the offensive coordinator? Because here's the dilemma. I'm not convinced that Getsy's the guy, but if you change Getsy, now you're giving him his third system in 4 years, which is not the way to develop a young quarterback.
All right, before we get into some of the specifics here, what motivated this thought for you? Like, was there a critical mass of opinion that you heard? Was it someone specific? Why did you feel compelled to share this thought?
Well, because I think right is right and wrong is wrong. And I think in these, you know, periods of indecision, of unknown, when you have guys that have played the position, that have coached the position, you know, that have broadcast, you know, the game, I think our opinion, you know, is important. You know, not saying that no one else is, but this is a former NFL quarterback coach, college quarterback coach is saying, this is what I'm seeing. I would be ecstatic to have the opportunity to move forward with Justin Fields as my quarterback, because I think you do a disservice. Let's just say they decide to move away from Fields and they go quarterback at number one. he's still walking into the same situation that Justin would be leaving. Mediocre talent around the quarterback. But now you've used your greatest asset, the number one pick, to start over at quarterback. And I don't think that you're going to get the desired results.
I find myself agreeing with you on this, and I've been talking about it a lot over the last couple of weeks. Here's what I think is weird, and I'm intrigued by a lot of things. I like to know why things are the way they are. We've talked to Dan and I on this show have talked to multiple former players on the station. There have been multiple former quarterbacks that have been on, and I would say at about 95% of those people agree with your assessment of Fields. There is a loud contingent of people that don't agree with your assessment. Some of them have played. Shout out to Alex Brown. Some of them haven't. I'm just wondering, I always wonder, as someone who, you know, covered locker rooms, what are the things the professionals see that the people who didn't play don't? And why do you think that there is a disconnect? I feel like I had a conversation with Cam Newton about this a few weeks ago, and he said almost everything that you said about Justin Fields. I'm trying to figure out where do you think the disconnect is in assessment on him? Because there are people that are like, no, he's had enough time and he has not progressed quickly enough.
Well, I think the one main point that I make, and I do this a lot of times in my circles, you know, when I have business partners or people that love football, but, you know, that's not what they did for a living. So, of course, they haven't put the sweat equity into really knowing the game. And I tell them this all the time. There are no easy Sundays in the National Football League. Like, the Arizona Cardinals beat the Dallas Cowboys this year. The Chicago Bears have no chance to make the playoffs. Really should have beaten the Cleveland Browns. Like, and I say that to say the parity in the NFL means that it's hard to play good football week in and week out at the quarterback position. And when you don't surround a young quarterback with the right situation, with the right level of talent, it's almost impossible. You know, I was a person that was screaming from the Raptors that if C.J. Stroud fell in the draft, I was going on a rampage. Because when you looked at C.J. Stroud's film at Ohio State, it was elite. He might be the most accurate thrower of the football I've ever seen. And what people forget is there was this narrative that was coming, you know, before the draft that he was hard to coach. They had some new test that they had come up with, and he didn't score well on it. And, you know, he no-showed the Mannings at the Manning Passing Academy. You remember those conversations about C.J. Stroud? And now everybody seems to forget who had that opinion that that was, you know, their stance and position coming into the draft. But I say that to say, the culture in Houston was so much better than the culture in Carolina. If C.J. Stroud went number one to the Panthers and Bryce Young went number two to the Houston Texans, I'm telling you, the Texans might still be successful like they are, and people will be talking about Bryce like they are C.J., and they might be trying to run C.J. out of the league because Carolina's awful around him. They have an owner that's too meddlesome. The energy in that building just is never right. So, like, sometimes it's situation. And until you give a young quarterback the things that he needs to be successful week in and week out, then I think it's hard to really say he can or can't do something. I mean, if you go down the list of the top three, four, five quarterbacks in the league, they all have elite personnel on offense, all of them.
Sean, we've been debating throughout all of these Bears conversations that what has underpinned much of our discussion has been the nature of football coaches to approach their jobs rigidly and to see players as, for lack of a better term, vessels for their brains. To say, it's all about execution. This is my plan. It is their job to carry out my plan as I envision it in my head. Where in other sports, football less so, you have coaches like, what do I have? All right, what do I got? And what do you do well? What do you do well? What do you do well? And even though I did this, this, and this, and I came up with this, and we're going to make this all work. Why is it so much harder in general? And this, and I do think this applies to Justin Fields, but why do you think it's harder for football coaches to just try to make the best of what they have for a given game, for a given situation, for a given season?
I think it starts. It's a very, very good question. Let me say that. And I think there are a couple different ways to analyze it. Let's look at it from this standpoint. There are only 32 of these companies in the world, right? Like, they don't play football at this level anywhere else in this world. You know, and NBA is one thing, but they play professional basketball in a lot of places. That's why you get your Wembanyamas and your Luka Doncic and your, you know, those guys that come into the NBA and are elite players. So they're coming from really good leagues. You know, the same thing with baseball. You know, you go into, you know, the Hispanic countries, they play really good baseball. And in Asia, they play really good baseball. And football is 32 of these companies in the world. And sometimes when a person becomes the owner of one of these, they get too involved. Look at the top five, six organizations in football. They don't have meddlesome owners. They have owners that just own. And they have a GM and a head coach that's equally yoked, that have the same vision, that walk step, hand in step, that understand the type of player they want. They agree on those players. They get them into that organization. Let's just start right there. And then they also have head coaches whose number one job is to lead men. And the National Football League, the head coach has to be somebody that can motivate men to be unselfish, to be willing to chase something that's bigger than just themselves. That's their job. It's the coordinator's jobs on both sides of the ball to design schemes that give those players the best chance to be successful and have success. It's the position player's coach's job to develop their position. And when your organization runs in that way, you have success. But when you look around the league, how many organizations run like that? Not a lot. But look at the elite ones. Look at the Chiefs. I mean, look at the Bills. I mean, look at the team. Look at the Niners. I mean, look at the Eagles. I mean, none of those owners are meddlesome. Those head coaches, for the most part, outside of Shanahan in San Francisco, they lead men. Then the coordinators from those teams, they design the schemes. And that's the way you got to build your organization if you want to have long-term success, to answer your question. And then that trickles down to we have patience at different positions because we evaluate and draft well. Or in the case of San Francisco, if we see we make a mistake, we don't elongate it and put good money behind bad money. We just move on, a.k.a. Trey Lance.
When it comes to Luke Getsy, it's funny because we were just having a conversation a few minutes ago about this, Sean, that I hear a lot of the right things being said by Getsy. I hear a lot of the right things being said by Fields about their relationship and each other. When we watch scripted plays for Luke Getsy, he's on point. Like, there's a lot of really great starts to games with Justin Fields that the Bears have had. As the game goes on, I think that he gets a little bit worse. How do you marry a coordinator and a quarterback so that they are, like, how would you go about trying to get on the same page with Getsy or having Getsy get on the same page with you to make it work?
I have to be in the building to really know Luke Getsy. And I'm not saying that I don't think he's a good coordinator. I'm saying I'm still deciding. You know, because I think there are some good things that they do offensively in Chicago. I think his run schemes are really good. And I think if they had a Josh Jacobs or an elite caliber running back, they'd be even better. You know, but then he does things that kind of, you know, make me go, they scratch my head. He'll throw a quick screen to Cole Kmet, and Darnell Mooney will be the point guy blocking. And I'm like, that just doesn't really, like, logically make any sense. And Mooney will get blown up at the point, and it'll be a tackle for a loss on first down. Like, a lot of their outlets are off of chip blocks as opposed to crossing routes or checkdowns. And a lot of times that's why it seems like Justin is holding the ball so long, because their checkdown is the running back or the tight end, but they're chipping their way out, and they're not getting out till really late. So there's some things in there that, you know, I wish I saw a lot more of what I think is sound offensive.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you, Suckagers, for joining me today. Thank you, Mark Grody, Hub Arkish, Chuck Swirsky, Tyler Farengel. Nicely done, nicely produced. And our Ganja for Guns campaign has just begun. It will carry the Wake and Bake Club into 2024. Mayor Brandon Johnson is... He will want to be a part of this. He will want to hear about it. He will want to come on the show and we can discuss Ganja for Guns. Thank everyone who listened. Nobody important listened. I'll be back next year. But I want you now, listen up indeed. Sean King, he was on with Bernstein and Holmes. Spirited defense of Justin Fields. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Sean King, former NFL quarterback, Super Bowl champion.
Sean, get your diamonds.
Co-host of VSIN Primetime.
Any up.
On Twitter at Real Sean King. And he's with us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline and twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. What's up, Sean? How you been, man?
I'm good. How are you guys? Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. All that good stuff.
You too.
Yeah, Sean, why do you want to talk to us, man? Well, what breakthrough have you had on Justin Fields that you need to share with Chicago?
Well, I think the interesting thing is I've been completely objectional, and I think I've been completely accurate on my evaluations of him throughout, you know, his tenure there in Chicago. And he's shown enough elite ability, in my opinion, to justify the Bears anointing him their franchise quarterback and using all of the resources they have, which are massive, considering they have the Panthers' number one pick as well, to upgrade around a young quarterback who's shown flashes of brilliance, who's getting better, who's doing it with what I would consider a bottom 7-8 roster from a personnel standpoint on offense. Imagine if you put elite pieces around him, how much success the Bears can have moving forward, because they have done a good job upgrading the defense for personnel. I love those young long corners. They added sweat to that pass rush. So the Bears aren't far away. And the worst thing they can do now is panic and make a move at quarterback.
What are the things that you like about Justin that you feel like show that he's had growth as a player?
Well, let me turn it around. Is there a throw that you think he can't make?
No.
He's demonstrated that he can make every throw in the book. That corner route to Komet against the Cardinals, the play action deep ball to the other tight end that he dropped against the Browns. Like, I mean, he's made some throws that just make you go, wow. And he's doing it without elite personnel. DJ Moore is by far his best offensive weapon, and DJ is nowhere near healthy. I mean, look, even they're not even elite at running back. And no offense to Khalil Herbert or Rashawn Johnson, but that backfield tandem is bottom half of the league as well. So, I mean, imagine putting elite playmakers around Justin. You know what he can do running the ball. You know what he's capable of doing passing the ball. When he's had protection, he's been unbelievable. And you can't judge him based on the statistics, and here's why. If you didn't watch the Cleveland Browns game, it says one touchdown, two interceptions, right? Both interceptions on Hail Mary plays. One at the end of the half, one at the end of the game. By the way, Darnell Mooney, I got my Tulane sweatshirt on. Can you get yourself together? You should have caught that, and they should have found a way to beat the Browns. So if you watch the game.
And the Hail Mary at halftime wasn't an actual interception. It wasn't.
So, I mean, they dropped it. So, but somebody that's just, you know, casually observing says, well, he didn't play good against the Browns, when in fact, he really did. And so I hope they don't panic. I still think the jury's out on Luke Getsy. And I would say the biggest unknown for me is, how does the organization feel about the offensive coordinator? Because here's the dilemma. I'm not convinced that Getsy's the guy, but if you change Getsy, now you're giving him his third system in 4 years, which is not the way to develop a young quarterback.
All right, before we get into some of the specifics here, what motivated this thought for you? Like, was there a critical mass of opinion that you heard? Was it someone specific? Why did you feel compelled to share this thought?
Well, because I think right is right and wrong is wrong. And I think in these, you know, periods of indecision, of unknown, when you have guys that have played the position, that have coached the position, you know, that have broadcast, you know, the game, I think our opinion, you know, is important. You know, not saying that no one else is, but this is a former NFL quarterback coach, college quarterback coach is saying, this is what I'm seeing. I would be ecstatic to have the opportunity to move forward with Justin Fields as my quarterback, because I think you do a disservice. Let's just say they decide to move away from Fields and they go quarterback at number one. He's still walking into the same situation that Justin would be leaving. Mediocre talent around the quarterback. But now you've used your greatest asset, the number one pick, to start over at quarterback. And I don't think that you're going to get the desired results.
I find myself agreeing with you on this, and I've been talking about it a lot over the last couple of weeks. Here's what I think is weird, and I'm intrigued by a lot of things. I like to know why things are the way they are. We've talked to Dan and I on this show have talked to multiple former players on the station. There have been multiple former quarterbacks that have been on. And I would say at about 95% of those people agree with your assessment of Fields. There is a loud contingent of people that don't agree with your assessment. Some of them have played. Shout out to Alex Brown. Some of them haven't. I'm just wondering, I always wonder, as someone who, you know, covered locker rooms, what are the things the professionals see that the people who didn't play don't? And why do you think that there is a disconnect? I feel like I had a conversation with Cam Newton about this a few weeks ago, and he said almost everything that you said about Justin Fields. I'm trying to figure out where do you think the disconnect is in assessment on him? Because there are people that are like, no, he's had enough time and he has not progressed quickly enough.
Well, I think the one main point that I make, and I do this a lot of times in my circles, you know, when I have business partners or people that love football, but, you know, that's not what they did for a living. So, of course, they haven't put the sweat equity into really knowing the game. And I tell them this all the time. There are no easy Sundays in the National Football League. Like, the Arizona Cardinals beat the Dallas Cowboys this year. The Chicago Bears have no chance to make the playoffs. Really should have beaten the Cleveland Browns. Like, and I say that to say the parity in the NFL means that it's hard to play good football week in and week out at the quarterback position. And when you don't surround a young quarterback with the right situation, with the right level of talent, it's almost impossible. You know, I was a person that was screaming from the Raptors that if C.J. Stroud fell in the draft, I was going on a rampage. Because when you looked at C.J. Stroud's film at Ohio State, it was elite. He might be the most accurate thrower of the football I've ever seen. And what people forget is there was this narrative that was coming, you know, before the draft that he was hard to coach. They had some new test that they had come up with, and he didn't score well on it. And, you know, he no-showed the Mannings at the Manning Passing Academy. You remember those conversations about C.J. Stroud? And now everybody seems to forget who had that opinion, that that was, you know, their stance and position coming into the draft. But I say that to say the culture in Houston was so much better than the culture in Carolina. If C.J. Stroud went number one to the Panthers and Bryce Young went number two to the Houston Texans, I'm telling you, the Texans might still be successful like they are, and people will be talking about Bryce like they are C.J., and they might be trying to run C.J. out of the league because Carolina's awful around him. They have an owner that's too meddlesome. The energy in that building just is never right. So, like, sometimes it's situation. And until you give a young quarterback the things that he needs to be successful week in and week out, then I think it's hard to really say he can or can't do something. I mean, if you go down the list of the top three, four, five quarterbacks in the league, they all have elite personnel on offense, all of them.
Sean, we've been debating throughout all of these Bears conversations that what has underpinned much of our discussion has been the nature of football coaches to approach their jobs rigidly and to see players as, for lack of a better term, vessels for their brains. To say, it's all about execution. This is my plan. It is their job to carry out my plan as I envision it in my head. Where in other sports, football less so, you have coaches like, what do I have? All right, what do I got? And how do I, what do you do well? What do you do well? What do you do well? And even though I did this, this, and this, and I came up with this, and we're going to make this all work. Why is it so much harder in general? And this, and I do think this applies to Justin Fields. But why do you think it's harder for football coaches to just try to make the best of what they have for a given game, for a given situation, for a given season?
I think it starts, it's a very very good question, but let me say that. And I think there are a couple different ways to analyze it. Let's look at it from this standpoint. There are only 32 of these companies in the world, right? But they don't play football at this level anywhere else in this world. You know, and NBA is one thing, but they play professional basketball in a lot of places. That's why you get your Wembanyamas and your Luka Doncic and your, you know, those guys that come into the NBA and are elite players. So they're coming from really good leagues. You know, the same thing with baseball. You know, you go into, you know, the Hispanic countries, they play really good baseball. And in Asia, they play really good baseball. And football is 32 of these companies in the world. And sometimes when a person becomes the owner of one of these, they get too involved. Look at the top five, six organizations in football. They don't have meddlesome owners. They have owners that just own. And they have a GM and a head coach that's equally yoked, that have the same vision, that walk step hand in step, that understand the type of player they want. They agree on those players. They get them into that organization. Let's just start right there. And then they also have head coaches whose number one job is to lead men. And the National Football League, the head coach has to be somebody that can motivate men to be unselfish, to be willing to chase something that's bigger than just themselves. That's their job. It's the coordinator's jobs on both sides of the ball to design schemes that give those players the best chance to be successful and have success. It's the position players, coach's job to develop their position. And when your organization runs in that way, you have success. But when you look around the league, how many organizations run like that? Not a lot. But look at the elite ones. Look at the Chiefs. I mean, look at the Bills. I mean, look at the team. Look at the Niners. I mean, look at the Eagles. I mean, none of those owners are meddlesome. Those head coaches, for the most part, outside of Shanahan in San Francisco, they lead men. Then the coordinators from those teams, they design the schemes. And that's the way you got to build your organization if you want to have long-term success, to answer your question. And then that trickles down to we have patience at different positions because we evaluate and draft well. Or in the case of San Francisco, if we see we make a mistake, we don't elongate it and put good money behind bad money. We just move on, a.k.a. Trey Lance.
When it comes to Luke Getsy, it's funny because we were just having a conversation a few minutes ago about this, Sean, that I hear a lot of the right things being said by Getsy. I hear a lot of the right things being said by Fields about their relationship and each other. When we watch scripted plays for Luke Getsy, he's on point. Like, there's a lot of really great starts to games with Justin Fields that the Bears have had. As the game goes on, I think that he gets a little bit worse. How do you marry a coordinator and a quarterback so that they are, like, how would you go about trying to get on the same page with Getsy or having Getsy get on the same page with you to make it work?
I'd have to be in the building to really know Luke Getsy. And I'm not saying that I don't think he's a good coordinator. I'm saying I'm still deciding. You know, because I think there are some good things that they do offensively in Chicago. I think his run schemes are really good. And I think if they had a Josh Jacobs or an elite caliber running back, they'd be even better. You know, but then he does things that kind of, you know, make me go, they scratch my head. He'll throw a quick screen to Cole Kmet, and Darnell Mooney will be the point guy blocking. And I'm like, that just doesn't really, like, logically make any sense. And Mooney will get blown up at the point, and it'll be a tackle for a loss on first down. Like, a lot of their outlets are off of chip blocks as opposed to crossing routes or checkdowns. And a lot of times that's why it seems like Justin is holding the ball so long, because their checkdown is the running back or the tight end, but they're chipping their way out, and they're not getting out till really late. So there's some things in there that, you know, I wish I saw a lot more of what I think is sound offensive football. But, I mean, he's trying to figure it out on the fly. They've had a lot of moving pieces there. The Chase Claypool experiment didn't work. You know, there's some – wasn't David Montgomery there last year at running back?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why they would get rid of David Montgomery. He's looking at what he's doing in Detroit. But, so he's not playing with a full deck. You know, when I have seen some good things, I think he's still trying to figure out how to utilize Justin in the QB run game. And the one thing I would tell him is go look at Buffalo's film. And go look at how Buffalo uses Josh Allen in the red zone. And I would try and emulate a lot of that stuff schematically, because they do a really good job of utilizing Allen's athletic ability in the red zone. And I think that's one of the areas where the Bears have struggled when I'm evaluating Getsy.
See, I think Getsy is had enough time. I really do. And it also bothers me where he keeps saying, well, we're working toward something, it's improving, and, you know, we just have to do more of this and do more of that. And for me, I've seen enough that you've had enough time to make this explosive and consistent and keep talking about execution. At some point,
let me ask you this. A lot like Justin, and you guys are there. So now I watch the Bears games because I'm a big fan of young quarterbacks. But I'm not boots on the ground in Chicago. I live in Las Vegas. I'm from Florida. So other things. Has he gotten better? Because a lot like Justin, this is Getsy's first opportunity to be offensive coordinator, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Has he gotten better in the 2 years that he's been in Chicago? Think about what he was year one, game one, and think about where he's at now. Do you see enough improvement to say if he takes another jump next year, he's the guy?
I'm not here to have the Chicago Bears shouldn't be a place where somebody's learning on the job. And for too long, the Bears and Bears fans have accepted that and just said, well, you know, he's getting him. Even if I were to say, yeah, I think his scripted plays do show a better understanding of game planning
and creativity.
I think he's gotten better as a game planner. I don't think he's good at calling the game in front of him. I think
his game flow is
clunky. And it for me, I would love to have him in the booth instead of on the sidelines, because I think he has trouble seeing what's actually happening rather than what he's got on his play sheet. But bottom line is, the Bears have to get out of the living with the bar set that low. Well, he's getting better. No. There's been too many years of that. Too many years of, well, this is the only guy they could end up hiring, and this is all they got. And they'll be in the same situation if they keep this coaching staff next year. If they keep Eberflus and fire Getsy, no one's going to take this job. No one's going to come here and work for Matt Eberflus. So,
but isn't that an Eberflus? That's on him. Because here's what happens with these coordinators, and I don't know if the public really knows this. When a coordinator has aspirations of being a head coach, they always want to be on the sideline because they think that makes them look like a future head coach. But I'm with you. You know, I had this situation in USF, and we had a guy, he just couldn't see it from the sideline, but he wanted to be a head coach so he wouldn't go in the booth.
Now, that's really interesting, and you're the first person I've heard say that. that when asked why be on the sideline, they might say, oh, it's just I can be around the players, I can communicate, when the answer might be, I'm trying to look head coachy.
Yep, that's exactly what it is, especially if you're struggling to see it from the sideline.
I mean, it's a hard – I it doesn't matter that much to me, but it's a hard game to see from the sideline, especially if you're, like, on the far hash and you're like, well, you just the angle – it's like watching a hockey game on the ice. It's difficult. You can get a better viewpoint of it from the 200 level. I mean, look, not all of us are Sean King. Like, Sean's going to hockey games and he's on the glass because, you know, he's on the glass. But for those of us that if you got a little bit of coin, you go to the 200 level, I think it's a better experience.
For hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, I prefer corner, 200 level corner.
I want 200
spot.
Level mid ice. That's what I want.
So my hockey in person is this. I'm good friends with the owner of Circa here in Vegas, and his seats are right behind the net. So either I want to sit in those seats or I want to be in a suite. I'm not a sit in the stands at a hockey game guy.
Hey, if Derek is taking care of you, you know you're good no matter what.
But wait, I'm confused. Right. Sean, the Knights aren't your team, right?
Well, I live in Las Vegas, so I root for them. But I mean,
Lightning is your team, isn't it?
Right, and I went from one championship organization to another. Same way in Tampa. When I go to the games in Tampa, I'm either in a suite or I don't go. I just don't like being around people I don't know like that. Like, people get carried away. For real, like, you got some guy spilling beer on you, you know, somebody in the front, and you're standing up the whole damn game. Like, I got to use the bathroom. I got to go past eight people. Like, I'm a snob when it comes to watching live sporting events. I got to be in a suite. I'm probably not going to go.
Well, Sean, we're glad that you reached out to us, and it led to us finding out something that we didn't know and that we can add to our conversation on all of it. And at the end, when they make a decision on what to do next, like, I want you to come back on the show and let's talk about it.
All right, will do, man. You guys enjoy your new year. Thanks for having me.
You too. That's Sean King.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.